April 1st, Saturday of the fifth week of Lent. Divide and conquer. That's a common strategy in many competitive and conflict situations, and a very effective one. It's often used in war, for example, to try to weaken the enemy by creating divisions within. Vladimir Putin, in his brutal attack on Ukraine, has tried to use ethnic Russians living in the east and south of the country as both a justification for taking over the country and as a support base, thus setting one part of the population against another. Furthermore, Putin has tried to create divisions in NATO by putting pressure on Germany and other nearby European countries by threatening to cut off their gas supplies. So far, that has not worked because members of the alliance realize the importance of standing together in order to maintain their strength. Divisions weaken and destroy all kinds of organizations. Businesses falter and fail when there is no clear mission that unites all the stakeholders, so they waste their energy squabbling over policies and resources. Families, too, can be torn apart when the children start fighting over inheritances or who gets the family business or who is responsible for caring for the parents. This is played out dramatically in shows like Succession. Unfortunately, it happens too often in real life also. The root cause of this dysfunction in it is individuals putting their own selfish interests before the good of the whole. They forget that when they all work together to build a strong organization, everyone benefits, while the selfish pursuit of wealth and power in competition with others ultimately weakens everyone because it robs them of their collective strength and leaves them open to decline and dissolution. In other words, sin sows division as a way of attacking the good. We see this sadly in our own country, where the inability of different parties and interest groups to build mutual respect and trust and to work together for the common good often leads us unable to address some of our most pressing problems of economic inequality, racism, dishonesty, climate change, and infrastructure. It's a serious problem in the church as well. Divisions within the Catholic Church, as well as between Christian churches, sap our energy and lead to rivalries, hatred, prejudices, and mutual accusations that undermine our Christian witness and weaken our ability to proclaim the gospel message. There will always be disagreements and prophetic voices that challenge conventional thinking and practice. That's a necessary part of any healthy organization. It's the inability to listen to others, to learn, to grow together, and find common ground in our shared beliefs and values that thwarts the good work we can do together. We see this in today's gospel. Jesus has come as God's chosen one to rescue Israel from its subjection and bring to fulfillment God's promise of an eternal kingdom with all the nations united around Jerusalem. He backed it up with powerful signs of healing, bringing new life and wholeness to lives that were broken. But the high priest and the other leaders saw that as a threat to their own privileged position, which they had worked out by making accommodations with their Roman conquerors. They would rather see the nation remain weak and divided because it benefited them personally. So Jesus had to be eliminated. God, however, had other plans. The sacrificial death of Jesus, through the power of God to bring new life in the resurrection, would be the means, quote, to gather into the one the dispersed children of God, as the evangelist writes. That's the fundamental work of Christ, to gather all those who have been scattered. And that is the work he has bequeathed to his church. It means reaching out and overcoming the divisions created by race, ethnicity, economic status, politics, geography, and all the other factors that set people against one another, which requires humility, empathy, and a willingness to overcome our own prejudices to see the good in others in spite of our differences. All of this is rooted in the love of Christ and a belief in its power to transform minds and hearts, to bring them together for the good of all. This mandate has always been at the center of the church's mission, from Pentecost on. It has also guided the work of the Society of Jesus from its founding, when St. Ignatius sent St. Francis Xavier to bring the Word of God to the vast expanses of Asia. And St. Francis and his successors sought to understand the disparate cultures in which they found themselves and adapt their message and, most importantly, their attitudes and lifestyles to those cultures. At the same time, Ignatius insisted that, following his own example, Jesuits identify with and serve the poor and the outcasts wherever they were. That continues today with the Society's efforts to enculturate its message and its practice in every part of the world while giving special care to immigrants, the oppressed, the poor, and all those who have been forced to the margins of society. We are all called to be a part of that work, and we need to work together across all of our differences to carry it out effectively.